I got a couple of things I want to say this morning. You probably read in the bulletin or remember maybe from last week, my dad's in Cuba, which I was thinking about if I could say that actually, but things have changed over there and it's in the bulletin. So I figure we're safe saying he's in Cuba, but he is in Cuba with Paul Northrup, and from what my mom has told me, they're having a great time, and a lot of great things are happening, and that country is really opening up to the Holy Spirit, to the Lord, even more and more. We watched a show, just happened to be on TV, where an entrepreneur went over there recently and is helping them develop businesses. And there's all this kind of entrepreneurial spirit, which I think is part of the Holy Spirit moving. And then, but they still have all these bizarre rules. But you could just see something's happening there, so that's exciting. But he's there, so I'm here. And I wanted to speak about Thanksgiving. I don't know why I came up with that. It just dawned on me that it seems seasonally appropriate. But I guess the title of this sermon would be The Importance of Gratitude. G.K. Chesterton wrote, "When we were children, we were grateful to those who filled our stockings at Christmas time. Why are we not grateful to God for filling our stockings with legs?" And some unknown author wrote, "Hem your blessings in with thankfulness so they don't unravel." The importance of gratitude. As many of you know, like I said, my dad's out of town. One of the things he said to us growing up, and he may have said it to you as well, but that he's never met an unhappy, grateful person. Never met an unhappy, grateful person. Why is that? Much like we've been hearing the last couple weeks about forgiveness, gratitude is voluntary. So breathing would be involuntary. Go to sleep, and thank goodness that's involuntary. Gratitude is voluntary. That means it's a decision. When we lose sight of who we are and what we deserve, we become ungrateful, stagnant, and I think it leads to depression. A lack of gratitude is really a misunderstanding of our condition. This misunderstanding of ourselves leads to emotions and actions like judgment, unforgiveness, and resulting in a me-centered world. And I do think that stems from simply just being ungrateful. It's like I call it a death spiral, where you're just in a bad mood. I've never been in a bad mood. I look at Heather. That's one problem. Like when you do speak up here, it's like I call Heather my wife, for those of you who know Heather. The fact checker, because I'll tell stories. Like Mark Twain said, never let the facts get in the way of a good story. That was one of his lines. And so I think, you know, you tell a story, and it's not important if I said, oh, I was going like 80 miles an hour, and she'll go, no, you're going 75. I don't know if that's wrong. Well, you were going 75. Okay, well, I was going 75 miles an hour. And then the whole story is not even funny or good anymore. So when I'm up here, I have the fact checker looking me right in the eyes. So I can't say something like I'm never in a bad mood. I know she's like, but it is. It's like a built-in accountability partner when you speak. You don't do that. Why don't you do that? Why would you tell others to do that and then you do that? You be quiet. I'm just kidding. I would never. But I do realize, lack of just being grateful is really just not understanding. It's not being realistic on who you are. And it's so funny how much of life's problems are very simple, right? We want to make them really complicated, but I do understand that some of us have a hard time getting past different issues that lead to feelings of emptiness and lack of gratitude. So I've got a 5-minute video that hopefully will help some of us get past those, and then I'll come back up here. I told you, simple answers, right? If we stopped most of our things that simple, it would be life would move a lot easier. But I think in terms of being ungrateful, we should just stop it. just stop it. Don't talk. Oh, we don't go there. Don't go there. Just stop it. Gratitude is currently being studied at the university level now more, and because of some of the natural benefits. So at University of Massachusetts Dartmouth, researchers are beginning to focus on gratitude and the relationship to health and mental well-being. So I always like to, obviously the main source is the Bible, but I always like to look at other things. Because when God asks us to do something, it's good for us. It's not just because it's a good, like makes him feel better about himself. It's actually good for us. You'll see it first in the natural and then then in the spiritual. So God says, when he commands us to be thankful, here are some of the natural benefits that are actually being studied right now. People who keep gratitude journals on a weekly basis have been found to exercise more regularly, have fewer physical symptoms, feel better about their lives as a whole, and feel more optimistic about their upcoming week. Daily discussions of gratitude result in higher reported levels of alertness, enthusiasm, determination, attentiveness, energy. Grateful people also report lower levels of depression and stress. Although they do not deny or ignore the negative aspects of life, being thankful doesn't require you to say everything is awesome, like the song goes, right? It doesn't require you to go, oh, I'm so glad that guy T-boned me, or I got a ticket. That is awesome. Thank you, Lord. I mean, that's really cheeseball Christianity, just to go, if that's a term, but like to really don't be fake about it, right? That's not, it's a real emotion. People who think about, talk about, or write about gratitude daily are more likely to report having helped someone with a personal problem. This is all off the University of Massachusetts, and offered emotional support to that person. Those with a disposition towards gratitude are found to place less importance on material goods and are less likely to judge their own or others' success in terms of accumulated wealth. They're also less envious of wealthy people and more likely to share their possessions with others. Emerging research suggests that daily gratitude practices may have some preventative benefits in warding off coronary artery disease. So when God asks us to do something, it's amazing. You know, as a kid, you think the Ten Commandments are like, not that I ever wanted to like murder someone or something, but those are good ideas to follow the Ten Commandments. As a kid, they feel like rules or something. Like, I just remember thinking that. Like, I was telling somebody this weekend, actually, we were talking about forgiveness, and you know, when Jesus says 7 times 70, I remember doing the math and going, that's 490. So if I ever have to do 490 in a day, if I go to 491, that means I don't have to forgive. I mean, I really had that thought. I don't know why I had that thought, but I really had that thought. And then it's funny, after we've been talking about this on forgiveness, you know, my view on forgiveness has changed a little bit to see that as 490 times we forgive the same offense, like the very same offense. So it's like, it may not be, I don't know. I used to think it was more 490 times. I actually put it in a time period, and then that's where you see where I was going. I was creating a really nice system for myself. But 490 times on the same offense. I know we're talking about gratitude, but I do believe forgiveness is like a splinter. Like, I believe you can sincerely forgive someone the best you know how, and that splinter is not removed yet. And it just keeps pulling out over the 490 plus times. And then something breaks and it just falls off. But it wouldn't have done that. The idea of just going, someone that really hurt you in a real way, the idea that you're just gonna go, I forgive them. I think it's a misunderstanding to think that you're gonna feel something different. Forgiveness is such a process. It's not, I don't think it's a moment in time. I think the moment in time when the splinter falls out is the result of the 490 times. Does that make sense? So, but why is gratitude important to God? The Bible is filled with commands to give thanks to God, to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Give thanks for his enduring kindness. God's commands are to help us, and they're near and dear to his heart. King David was man after God's own heart. When I was preparing for this, I was reading about Saul. And if you know the story, Israel really wanted a king. And Saul was from a lower tribe in Israel, but he was like a head taller than everybody. And I think he was probably really athletic and good looking and probably just naturally good at stuff. So he had been pegged. But it's funny, as I was reading it, in the first part of where Samuel, who was given to, away by his mom, if you read that, Samuel having this impact on Saul, and Saul's looking for his donkeys. You'd have to I don't know why this hit me, but it's funny. Saul was like, when he went and found Saul, he was looking for he lost some donkeys, and he couldn't find them. And I was thinking of the contrast started so early between Saul and David, because David, early on, was really famous for going after the lion and the bear. He would leave the 99. He was that guy. Saul couldn't find his donkeys, and he was like, where'd those donkeys go? I just thought it was interesting. I'm like, it's funny. Right from the beginning, there's a difference. And then he meets Samuel, and Samuel actually tells him where his donkeys are. But King David was a man after God's own heart. And I really believe he writes the Psalms. If you read the Psalms, it's thankfulness. It's crying out, but it's thankfulness. So I thought we could read Psalm 107. And I wrote down just in parentheses, I think we are all in this psalm somewhere in terms of who you are in this psalm. But we'll read this, and then I may point out a few things. But give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. I made this note that grateful people share their story. I was with Will's brother, Bo, this week. We got together with another person, and we were talking about this other person wanted to do real estate, and I thought, well, Bo can maybe help him out or whatever. And it's funny, Bo can't help it, but he just starts telling his story because that's just kind of how he is. He's just an open, So he just starts telling his story, but it's a, I just thought, it was just he's just grateful. He couldn't help it. It wasn't like, here's an opportunity for me to really witness to someone. I mean, he's like, yeah, I really wanted to, sell this first house. And of course I gave 10%. I want to make sure I tithed on 10%, which I wanted to go, hey, let me so tithing is it? Because this is like an unchurched person. But it's just because he's just talking. He's like, yeah, I was tithing and I did all this stuff. But what I thought in preparation of this is grateful people share their story. It's not even forced. It's just who is it? It's just what happened. Because you're so grateful. And how could your story offend somebody? It's your story. Other people's story offends people. But your story, it's hard to argue. You were there. It's like, I'm sorry if I offended you, but it's what happened. I saw the miracle. You can argue with me, but it actually happened because I was there. So grateful people share their story. They can't help it. Those he gathered from the lands, from the east and the west, and this is us, in the north and the south. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to the city where they could settle. I wrote down lost. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress, desperate. He led them by the straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Needy. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in chains, slaves to sin, because they rebelled against God's commands and despite the plans of the Most High. Despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze, and he cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through the rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death, and they cried to the Lord in their trouble. And he saved them from their distress. That's the rebellious. He sent out his word and he healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Some went out in the sea in ships, and they were merchants in mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up the tempest that lifted up high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who live there. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased. And he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but the wicked shut their mouths. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. God is in control of everything. He has a way of making us thankful. And so when he takes us through these deserts or different things, and we cry out, even if we've been rebellious or we've been needy or we're slaves to sin, he hears our cry and continues to rescue us. Thanksgiving and praise always go together. Always. Humility is a sign of gratitude. So when we're talking about doing, you know, Bill mentioned this, but this is something we do at Thanksgiving. I'm sure a bunch of other people do that too, but we go around the table and say what we're thankful for. Hopefully we're doing that more than once a year. But if you've ever done that privately, like on your own, just to go through a list of things that you're thankful for without trying to be too spiritual about it, but just, you know, thank you for my toes or my ears or my nose or my car or my house, or, and you'll have a hard time stopping, and you'll find yourself actually begin to worship, and it may not be like breaking out in song, but you'll feel your spirit actually lift up because it moves you out of this kind of observation and criticism into, I'm thankful I can read, I'm thankful I can write, I'm thankful that we have air conditioning, and you can go on, and we used to do that, my parents used to have us do that as kids, and it's fun, it's a fun game, because kids can think of some really weird stuff, but it's good. We are thankful for all those potty words that they'll probably say in that, but getting, I guess what I want to say is, being thankful is a habit. It's not like a God-given gift. Some people are more like lighthearted and optimistic, but it's different from being thankful. Thankful, much like forgiveness, is voluntary. It's a habit. And it's an easy habit actually to create, but it's kind of a, if you go the other direction, it becomes really dark, where it's just, you know, if you've ever said, you know, I don't deserve this. I deserve better than this. I mean, that's the death spiral, what I was talking about. But how many times has the devil ever encouraged you to be thankful? Has he ever said it to you? But how many times has he said to you or whispered, or you hear this thing, you deserve better than this. You know what? I'm watching you. You seem like a pretty good person. Could it be me? Maybe it's just me, but you seem like you should have got that promotion. Or, you know what? This is not the right spouse for you. I told you that early on. Little seed, right? Or anything to fan the flame of center, me center. But the devil, and what I mean by that, just to be clear, I've never had the devil talk to me. I never had God talk to me audibly either. But it's a whisper. I think you know what I'm saying, of like where you just kind of feel it, and it feels kind of good. It feels kind of good when he says stuff. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. It feels kind of good to be angry sometimes, and I think even depression feels kind of good sometimes. Not for a long time, but it's the death spiral, you know? And when he's just kind of encouraging it, and when you kind of go, you know, you're right, I don't deserve this, but I'm glad I have a job. And you just feel it go, and kind of unwind. Devil doesn't know what to do with that. He can't handle it, and he for sure can't handle it if you're in a tough situation like Job. I mean, I think of, you know, I always think of Aaron and Mike on this, going into chemo treatments. And I went up there one time with Aaron, and she's, and this was pretty, like right in the thick of really when it was heavy, when Cade was getting his chemo. And she was teaching Cade, and this is Mike too, but she'd given him gifts for him to walk around and hand to the other sick kids. Now, Cade was a sick kid, okay? But Aaron saw, and Mike saw, that this was not going to be just about him, and he was gonna share something. And I can't imagine what that did. I can't imagine what that did for the devil. I think it was probably like a little bit of like a stake in the ground. To say, like, you can't come here. Like, you can't come here. The devil can't occupy the same space as thankfulness. He can't. I don't know what it is. He can't do it. And so, when we're grateful for what he's given us, it really hurts the chances that the devil is going to get in there and screw something up for you. But it's a discipline, it's a habit to be grateful. It's something you can pass on to your kids. Like my dad said, I've never met an unhappy, grateful person. We all want to be happy. You know, I know there's a whole like biblical context for the word happy, and I'm not going to go all into all that, but everybody wants to be happy, okay? Let's just be simple about it. Everybody wants to be happy. Being grateful is a big piece of that. And I think, too, it's just, like I said, God works in the natural first and then in the spiritual. I believe that you want to give more gifts to someone that's grateful. I mean, if you're... Okay, so I got to watch what I say, probably. But if you're ungrateful about something that God's given you, I just think... we overcomplicate our relationship. It doesn't exactly would make him want to give you more. Because you're just analyzing like, it's nice, but I don't know. I mean, look what they got. I mean, just picture your own kids or your own relationships or your own, if someone gave you something, and I'm going to pick on Heather again. So, Heather's really hard to impress, like almost impossible. And it's funny because I like to impress. So it's a tough combination. And I think it's some of it's cultural. I don't know if Jenny is too, Pat, but maybe it's a Midwest like sensibility or something of like, but so I told Heather, we first got married, we're going to Yosemite. I'm telling you, this place is unbelievable. You're gonna freak out. We're gonna come through this like tunnel thing, and you're gonna see Half Dome. And I think this is a Davenport problem, but We say it so many times until we get affirmed. Like, yeah, this is nice. It's really nice. Is this good? Is this food good? This is the best pizza. You think this is good? I can't believe how good this pizza is. I love this pizza. This is good. Yeah, it's good, right? And then we stop talking about it. We say it until we get a response. So we... Kevin Davenport, not my mom. That's true. And so... So it's like a 7-hour drive. We don't have any kids at this point, and we're getting ready to come through that tunnel. And I'm building it up huge. I'm overselling this big time. Like, and it is amazing. All of you have been there. It's like probably one of the wonders of the world or something. But so we pull this tunnel, and you can do that. You're like kind of park right on the, like where the, you know. And I said, is this the most beautiful thing? You know what Heather says? You know what this reminds me of? The fjords. I said, the fjords, like in Norway? Have you been to the fjords in Norway? She goes, yeah. Because really, Yosemite compared to the fjords is a joke. Like, the fjords is what Yosemite aspires to be, right? So I was like, what the heck? You should tell me about the fjords 6 hours ago when I was... I have no idea why I brought that up. Why did I bring that up? Hard to impress. Oh, yeah. But I didn't. You think I want to take you to Paris for our 15th anniversary? No. Because I want some affirmation back. So I want her to go, holy cow. Right? That's, it's a, and I guess why I brought that up is with kids or somebody in a relationship, you want to, makes you want to do more. Like, oh, you think this is good. Let's go to, you know, you want to do more. I'm joking. I still would like you to take places, but I just think it's simple. It's simple, you know. Stop it. Stop it. Just be grateful. A thankful heart is—it's a habit. But I do—I believe it. It's something with God's heart that connects. That He wants to open up more. I think it is tied into tithing. Nobody can afford to tithe. Who's ever said they can afford to tithe? You know. I mean, it's. It's a discipline, right? It's a choice. But I do. It's first fruits, and it's out of gratitude for what He's given you. And it says, test me in this. He'll give you more. So test God in this. I shouldn't say test God in this, but be thankful. In the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit, in the Greek, it's, it basically translates to being spiritual bankrupt. So you're blessed because you're spiritual bankrupt. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. This is really when you're on your like thankfulness A game, when this is all happening, when you're really like, what a blessing. I said that before up here with how I don't like blessings in disguise, but rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before me. But being spiritually bankrupt, we're all spiritually bankrupt. That's what I mean when I say we're missing the point. Not being thankful or not being grateful is a misunderstanding of who you actually are. If you understand that you're spiritually bankrupt, if you really understand who you really are, and you know who you really are, you know who you are, if you get serious with yourself, and then you realize what Jesus has done for you and is doing for you, you become thankful. You become grateful. Thankfulness keeps our hearts in right relationship to the giver of all good gifts. God is good, and He's good all the time. Our circumstances may not be good. Our past may not be good. But developing a habit of being thankful will help you see difficulties, like I shared about Aaron and Mike, as opportunities for God. being grateful will change what you see as a problem to an opportunity. Does that make sense? If you're thankful, you walk into a difficult sentence or a thing that feels like you're being oppressed, but you're grateful just to be breathing, all of a sudden you're looking for things that God, you know what, there's an opportunity. There's someone really hurting in the midst of this. I could help, actually. Grateful people share their story. Start tomorrow when you wake up for thanking the Lord for your day, your life, your family, your job, your nose, your eyes. You'll find yourself in a place of worship. Have you noticed that you're never kind of mad or sort of bitter? I have no backup for this, but I believe emotions only operate at 100%. So you never meet someone that's sort of bitter. It's like, that person's bitter. For me, I'm mad. I'm not kind of mad. If you are, that's just messing with somebody. You know, you're not sort of mean. You're mean. Right? Stop it being mean. Emotions are 100%. Thankfulness helps keep out things like bitterness, judgy spirits, anxiety, worry. There's no room for them. You're just like a big vessel filled up with thankfulness. Nothing. It's hard to get out there, and it leaks out when stuff happens. I mean, you know, it happens, but 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you don't have to turn there, but in everything give thanks, for that is the will, God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We are to be thankful not only for the things we like, but for the circumstances we don't like. We cannot be both thankful and ungrateful at the same time. We thank Him for His promises that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So, Thanksgiving is my top holiday all time. And that's about me. So, it sounds like that's really an honorary thing to say, actually, because I don't need the gifts. That's not what this is about. But I actually do like the whole family thing. But I do want to say, not everybody's family is fun. There was a guy one time, and he didn't speak English, and he wore a hat to work that said, "I put the fun in dysfunctional." And I helped him understand what he was wearing. But I understand that my Thanksgiving may be fun, while others may be dysfunctional. And we'll mix in a little dysfunction, just for fun. I mean, we do that most holidays. But what I'm saying is, I heard great advice going into, I just want to say this. I understand Thanksgiving may bring anxiety for some people. It may bring worry. It may bring, I know what's going to happen. But I would say this, be thankful on Thanksgiving. Be thankful for Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving. Look for opportunities because of your gratitude. And the advice that I got, or I heard someone say, is that when you go into those situations, don't have an agenda and trust the Holy Spirit. Don't go into Thanksgiving with an agenda. Don't do it. That's a trap. That's a setup. Because someone is for sure going to disappoint you. I thought you were making I don't know what you'd get upset about, but you're setting yourself up to be disappointed, right? Don't have an agenda. Let the Holy Spirit lead. And if we can arm ourselves with thankfulness going into Thursday, I believe that it's going to invite a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I think it's a way that God has given us to usher in His presence. So the worship team wants to come up, and then we'll pray. Thanks for listening. That was a bad joke. Are you guys thankful? Not for me. Are you thankful for me? Tell me you're thankful. Was that a great sermon? Was that a good sermon? That was a really good sermon, right? I thought that was such a good sermon. There's nothing more awkward, I'll be honest with you. We've talked about this before, but I do get this weird like confessionary thing up here. And it is really nice when people say good job. And I don't want you to not do that. But it's hard to I get that sometimes because you really work hard not to try to make it a good sermon based on the response you get, right? It's hard because you get a good response. That was a really good sermon. But what I want to confess that to you. But I said with the guys, our men's meeting, we met this morning, but I really feel like the Holy Spirit, he's always on the move, but I think there's something new going on. I believe we're going to have a revival. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like, but I think we need to be ready for it. And I think it's got to start with gratitude. And I think if you're grateful, you're ready. So I should pray. I guess I said I was going to pray. All right, Lord Jesus, thank you for today, Lord. And Lord, we do. We really just kind of soak in your goodness. Forgive us for when we take the blessings you've given us for granted, like our limbs and our however we got to church, or all these really kind of basic things that are not, that we just take for granted, Lord. Forgive us for focusing on the negatives and on what we don't have. Lord, I ask that if there's 100 people here today, Lord, I ask that we would be 100 different non-agendized, Holy Spirit listening, thankful people on Thanksgiving Day. Lord, I pray that we would be an instrument to help usher your Holy Spirit into areas that haven't been touched in a while. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to be part of your good works on Thanksgiving. Amen.